I've got a, this is titled, you go ahead and got it there, go ahead and flash it up. This is titled tonight, Light in the Outhouse. And I know that's kind of unique, but I thought it was, I don't know, one Sunday when Dave was preaching, I thought of this title. So, you know, you go with it. Just go with wherever you think, you know, that's fine. But, you know, how many here has ever used an outhouse? Yeah? Several of you. You know, oh, yeah, I forgot. If you get bored and want me to stop, I can start using this little mic here tonight. So there we go. But anyway, you know, I'm not that old that when I was a kid, we had running water and a bathroom in our house. But we didn't have the facilities in our milk barn or our shop. So Dad left the outhouse out that they used when they were a kid out by the milk barn and then the shop, so we could use it during day while we was working during the day. So I've used an outhouse, and I do know how lovely they are. But I don't know if you can see it there. Go to the next slide there. I don't quite understand a two-story outhouse. I hate to be the guy on the bottom. I can't quite grasp that. So anyway, if you ever come across one of those, you might want to be, say, always be on the top. Sai's back there going, I was always on the bottom, right? also, I think those Charmin commercials really stink with the Bears. So, I'm sorry. Oh, well. anyway, you guys can see my outhouse up here. This is kind of unique. Some of you might be able to see I have a moose in there. Yes, but that's my outhouse. How many of you remember the Northman? How many went to the Northman? Yeah. Well, that was a annual thing at the children's home. We'd always go up to the Northman every year. And you got to consider that was really, quite frankly, that was quite a sacrifice for me, because I think of camping out as at a Holiday Inn. That's where I, you know, I really, you know, I, that's just where I'm at. But anyway, we would take the boys every year up to the Northman. We'd leave on a Sunday afternoon after church and come back on a Friday. You know, we did this for years. And so one year, Dave Smith, a lot of you know who Dave Smith was, was sitting around the campfire late at night. It was pitch black. Only thing he could see was people's campfires and a few lanterns hanging around the camp. And one of the boys came up and asked if he could go use the porta potty. And I said, sure, go for it. You know, but be certain to take your flashlight, because it's dark in there. And so, you know, off he went. And Dave and I was sitting there around the campfire facing the porta potty. And just nonchalantly, I said, he just dropped his flashlight in the bottom of the porta potty. And what was really kind of neat was it continued to work. The flashlight was shining brightly in the bottom of the porta potty. It was blue, so it was, you know, there it was. And just after a few seconds, you know, it wasn't very long, I said, he just reached down and grabbed the flashlight out of the bottom of that porta potty. And so when he came out, I called the boy up and I said, why did you reach down there and grab the flashlight out of the bottom of the porta potty? And he said, well, I thought I'd get in trouble, because at the beginning of the week, we told the boys, if you lost your flashlight, you wasn't going to get another one. So if you can imagine, here was a boy holding a working flashlight and a blue arm. So, the light in the outhouse, okay? That, hey, you know. What can I say? In preparation, if somebody would look up Luke 2, 15 through 20 and be ready to read that, I appreciate it. Some of you may be where I'm going with this tonight. And their puns are going right over their head, Dave. There's two points tonight that I'd like to share this evening. The first one is Jesus is our light. And Josh, Heather said this is a great analogy I'm doing tonight. So if you think so, maybe she could get an A for the day. I don't know. You know, she didn't think I'd mention that, but I told her I would. Jesus is our light. Who has Luke 2, 15 through 20? It's a real, and it should pop up there if you want to read it off of there. But if whoever has the microphone. Thank you. And if somebody would hold for a few minutes here, John 8, 12. So Jesus was born in a manger. A manger that sits in a dark, cold, stinky stable. In today's term, in a barn. I know some want to question the authenticity and accuracy of our nativity scene we have today. And I would agree. There's a lot of errors in it. But tonight, stay with me, and let's look at one aspect of the nativity. Let me regress a little bit and help you to understand how nasty some of these things are. Has anyone here ever, as a child, shot sparrows in the barn with your BB gun at night? Especially in the winter. Not you? Pigeons? Okay. You know, my dad always, he wanted me to go out. First place, if you shoot sparrows and leave them lay, the other sparrows won't come back in after a while. And I don't know if you know that or not, but that's the truth. But my dad would want me to go out there and shoot them with a BB gun at night because of they left the rafters a mess. If they was in a hay mow, they'd leave the hay a mess, the straw a mess. And quite frankly, you know, threat of disease even. So I remember as a boy, I would go out and shoot sparrows with my BB gun at night. And what you would do, you'd walk in the barn, and the sparrows would be roosting in the rafters. And you take a flashlight, and you shine it at the sparrow, and it would startle them for a second, and you just hit them with a BB, and you'd have one dead sparrow. So here was Jesus, born in an unsanitized barn that maybe the only light was maybe an oil lamp, a candle, I don't know. But just like the outhouse, it was a dark, dingy, stinky. But I can visualize the brightness that came from the stable. In Jesus Christ was born as a baby. It seems like many times a day in our world, we have lost sight of the light because of all the distractions. Let's look at this nativity I have up here on this table. You know, we've all seen it. We've all seen the nativity. You know, we have our wise men here, which we all know they weren't. But they usually have a lot of some of them have rubies and diamonds on them, and they make them really bright. We have all our animals, and the shepherd boy. We have, of course, we have Mary, and we always had the angel. And the angel, and now this one's not necessarily like a lot of them, but if you can imagine, a lot of times angels appear on top, shining a big bright light. But we've lost the sight of what's important in the nativity. You know, even though it was baby Jesus, he really is the focus of this. And today's world, baby Jesus has been shrunk. He's the light that shines in this. I like the one I have behind me here, where if you notice, baby Jesus is the light. He's the focus of all that. You notice all the clutter, all the animals and the people and everything are kind of separated. And you get to see baby Jesus, who he truly is, the light of the world. If somebody read John 8:12 right now, I appreciate it.
Spoke out again. I am the light of the world. The one who follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.
Every time I see baby Jesus, I feel a calmness, a peace, and a warmth. Tonight you're going to hear me quote several songs, but the first stanza in Silent Night says, "Silent night, holy night, all is calm. What? All is bright. Why? Because of our Lord, baby Jesus." So now then, let's go from the outhouse to the lighthouse. Jesus is our beacon of hope in the storm. His light shines for eternity for all to seek his light. Just as in this picture here, the lighthouse stands even among the storm, and our Jesus stands among the storm. Who remembers Lowell Mason, the singer? Nobody. The singer, the midget, the tiny person? Huh? You know, he is was an amazing singer. You remember? Yes, amazing singer. I loved his voice. And he sang one song which a lot of people have recorded, but I'm not certain any better than Lowell Mason, and that was The Lighthouse. And some of the lyrics go, "And I thank God for the lighthouse. I owe my life to him, for Jesus is my lighthouse and from the rocks of sin. He has shown a light around me that I could clearly see, and if it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be?" You know, actually I want to break out and sing that song. It's a beautiful song. If you don't know it, listen to it. And so I brought a picture here. That picture of the lighthouse is in a storm. This one is, I think, shows us what Jesus is like. Jesus stands up on a hill. His light shines for all to see. Just as this lighthouse stands on a hill for the ships to see so they can be guided safely through the storms, through the rocks, Jesus is there for us as a light, shining bright on the hillside. You know, Jesus came to earth in a filthy, stinky stable. And then he went up on a hillside and he hung on the cross. As darkness surrounding, in death, he was still the light, giving us hope, peace, knowing that through his death and resurrection, we have eternal life. Point number two. Now that Jesus is not on earth physically anymore, point two. Only 2 points tonight. The torch has been passed to us. If somebody could turn to Matthew 5, 14 through 16, get ready to read that here in a second. Just by taking one look at the news, you can see horrifying anger. We can see crime, terror, and disease. Politics is dark. Entertainment is dark. Social media is dark. Just like our outhouse, the world stinks. And with all this going on around us, we can be tempted to shake our fist at God and cry, "Where are you? Where are you in all this darkness?" We need the light. If we did so, if we shook our fist at him and said that, God would probably lightly grab our shoulders, look us in the eye, and say, "You are the light." This is what Jesus said in Matthew 5:14. Who's got that?
"You are the light of the world. A city set upon a hill cannot be hidden, nor do people light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Your light must shine before people in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven."
Thank you. If somebody look up Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, we'll read that here in a minute. In the darkness of crime, terror, and disease, we are the light. In the darkness of modern politics, entertainment, and social media, we are the light. Repeat, we are the light. It's not that we ought to be the light. It's that we are the light. And we are meant to shine by doing good works that glorify God. Amid the darkness of crime, terror, disease, politics, entertainment, and social media, Christians are the light. We are supposed to shine. Just as Dave said Sunday evening, we didn't go directly to heaven immediately after we were saved. Instead, we were chosen to stand to give light to the whole world. We are on the hillside city glowing in an otherwise dark landscape. We are the lampstand in the otherwise dark rooms. How are we to shine as hillside cities and lamps on stands? Matthew 5:16, in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works. We are not, don't get me wrong, we are not saved by works. Don't even think that. I'm trying to preach that. We are saved for works. In other words, good works are not a cause of our salvation, but they are a purpose of our salvation. Someone read Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, please.
"For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them."
Thank you. What does Jesus mean by good works? It is spelled out in the rest of the Sermon on the Mount and rest of the Bible. It is a nuanced idea that encompasses far more than charitable deeds alone. Rather, it means constantly asking ourselves, what can we do? As Christians, we have faded into the clutter and the world has lost the light. That's us. So, quickly, how do we become visible again? I say, well, I only had 2 points. Guess what? Point two has 4 points. So the first one is, don't deny the darkness. Isaiah 42:16 says, I will lead the blind by ways they have not known, along unfamiliar paths. I will guide them. I will turn the darkness into light before them and make the rough places smooth. These are things I will do. I will not forsake them. Again, don't deny the darkness. Be vocal. Sometimes we live in a cocoon of our own making. We're busy with our lives, and we don't want to acknowledge the dark, evil, and heartache we see in the world, because then we might have to do something about it. Getting involved might take our energy, time, finances, and emotions. And we've got enough on our plate already. Thank you very much. If we stay preoccupied with our own problems, maybe, guess what? We don't have to get involved with the world's problems of abortion, human trafficking, drug epidemic, rising rate of suicide, homelessness, and on and on. You just say, let someone else help. It's just too dark. But God wants us to get involved even when it's inconvenient, messy, hard, and everything in us screams, not this time, Lord. God says, yes. We need to be his light to someone today. Somebody get ready to read Acts 26, 16 through 19. I'd appreciate it. Have a heart. The second one is, have a heart and compassion for those who are in the dark, because you once were in the dark. Excuse me if I start getting hoarse, which I am. Everyone has a past before we accepted Christ as our Savior. One we're not too proud or wish we could go back and change. It's hard to look at the dark side of our culture because we don't want to remember or relive our dark days. But who better than us to reach people who are now where we once were? We need to light up the world by sharing our testimony that once I was blind, but now I see. Ephesians 5:8 says, for you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. Acts 26:16 through 19. Who's got that, please?
But get up and stand on your feet, for this purpose I have appeared to you, to appoint you as a servant and a witness, not only to the things in which you have seen, me, but also to the things in which I will appear to you, rescuing you from the Jewish people and from the Gentiles, to whom I am sending you, to open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me.
Thank you. So that, to me, that sounds like number 3 point, God gave us his light to shine, not hide. We might not be able to change a world, but we can change one life at a time. Our shining light draws people to us. You know, have you ever noticed bugs? You know, you turn a light on and they just go to the light. Well, people are that same way. If they see something interesting, the light, guess what? They're going to come to it. Invite them to have a cup of coffee or a meal. Some may reject our light because they like the darkness, but we can take every opportunity to let them know we're friends, not foe. And I think so many times we have alienated people. Pray that you can be a light and comfort to someone enveloped in infernal darkness. Somebody can read Matthew 28, 19 through 20. You should be able to quote this by heart.
Go Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to follow all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always, even to the end of the age.
Thank you. So that's bringing me to my fourth point. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. I feel many Christians today are afraid to share the gospel or fearful of ridicule. They want somebody else to share it. Maybe they don't know the word good enough. I don't know. But don't be ashamed to share what you know even, because the Holy Spirit will lead you, promise you. Share your source of light to help brighten this dark, dreary world. God chose us first because we chose Him. Before we chose Him, sorry. God chose us first before we chose Him. We're saved to help save the dark world wherever God has planted us. Know His word. Know this. You know, I don't know about you, and I'll be the first to admit, I'm not the best. I cannot memorize verses very well. But I try. It comes very hard for me, but I try. I study it every day. Just a paragraph a day in the old and the new. Just so I can absorb it and learn it. You know, you don't need commentaries. You don't need all this to help you necessarily. Let the Spirit lead you. Salvation isn't just for our own benefit. Aren't we glad that someone, maybe many people, share the joy and hope in knowing Jesus with us? I'll repeat that. Aren't we glad that others share our joy in knowing Jesus Christ as our Savior? Once we surrendered to Him, the glorious light of the Holy Spirit replaced this disparaging darkness in our heart. The Holy Spirit will give us the knowledge we need in helping us to be the light. But first, we must understand the Word. God wants Bible-believing Christians to reflect the life-saving light of Jesus everywhere, every day, to everyone. I repeat, God wants Bible-believing Christians to reflect the life-saving light of Jesus everywhere, every day, to everyone. Take advantage of every opportunity to be a glowing beacon of Jesus Christ. The Word of God tells us that we are the light that Christ has set in this dark world. We are given the noble task of shining bright so that God could be seen, heard, felt, and be praised and glorified, even by those who do not know Him. Truly, it is an honor to be chosen by God to represent Him in this world. I am running out of time, but I encourage you guys. Matthew West has sums up what I've been trying to say in a song called Do Something. Maybe some of you know it. Maybe some of you don't. And I'm not going to go through it. Like I said, time's becoming limited. But I encourage you, homework, go home and look it up. Look up the lyrics. Listen to Matthew West. Basically, he said it a lot better than I've said it at all tonight. So do something. Look up the lyrics. So in closing, go right to 18, please. Jesus is our light in the dark world, and He passed the torch on to us as His disciples to share His light with others. From the nativity to the cross, Jesus is our beacon of hope and salvation. I don't know how many of you remember the movie Green Beret with John Wayne back in the 60s. Anybody remember that? Yeah, some of you? Yeah? Actually, it was a Vietnam setting, which was... it was not a very popular movie at that time because it was the late 60s and people didn't want to see movies about Vietnam at the time. But at the end of the movie, one of the soldiers had asked his commanding officer, John Wayne, to put his name up where everybody would see and remember it if he had been killed in action. Well, he did get killed in action. And guess where he put it? He placed it right on the lower. He wanted his name placed on the lower latrine where everybody would see it. His name was, it was named Provo Privy. It was Sergeant Provo. And I guess I want to challenge every one of us here tonight, me included, when we are gone, how will people remember you? I hope it is a light shining in the world, in this world that is like an old outhouse. Thank you.